Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
And a good Saturday morning, everyone. Paul Ramo sitting in for Dick this morning. And before we get head coach Tony Smith of the Eagles to start our coaches show off this morning, let's go through some Southwest Minnesota District football scores from last night. Minneota down Dawson Boyd 28-7. McCray scored, in the last seconds to beat Lakeview 18-15. And RTR rolled over YME 40-14. And Canby Lancers, they beat La Caprile Valley 20-7 last night. And here to tell us all about it is head coach of the Eagles, Tony Smith. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, big day, big homecoming festivities all week. And Canby came to La Caprile Valley there. And, it was a pretty good game, I understand.
Yeah, it was a great week. A lot of things going on. Kids had fun. A lot of people were out yesterday during the day, and then kind of held over into the evening. It was a good crowd.
Good.
They were able to come away with a victory last night, 20-7. And you take a look at the first half. They were able to put a score up first to make the score 8-0, and then we answered. On about a 43-yard pitch and catch to from Colton Mortensen to Mason Clark to put us down to the one. And then Carson Buehr plunged across for a 1-yard touchdown run to make it 8-7. And then just before the second half, just before the first half ended in the second quarter, Canby put a drive together and scored on about a 16-yard touchdown pass over the middle to make the score 14-7 at half. And then obviously you have the halftime stuff going on, and a lot of the court was, they were football players, so they were off doing their thing and tried to make some halftime adjustments and talk fast and as soon as they get in and got out. And I had a nice drive. Actually, we had a number of drives yesterday or last night that just didn't end in touchdowns, but put some nice drives together. And for a myriad of reasons, whether just not executing or just a nice play by a Lancer, they ended up kind of holding us out of the end zone. Well, they did hold us out in the second half. And then with about 9 minutes to go, we were at midfield, and we punted the ball to them. And they got the ball in about their 15, and they proceeded to march down the field. We just could not get off the field on third down or fourth down to give them to get the ball back. And they were able to score to make the score 20-7. And then late Windable had a 60-yard kickoff return, which brought the ball down into their 35. And then with about 30 seconds to go, we threw a pick in the end zone. So missed opportunities, we felt. Canby played a nice game, very physical game, but we just, it's one of those things where we play hard, we're just getting wore down, and we're not executing when we are at that stage. So I got to figure out a way to fix that and keep plugging along.
Okay. All right, you got some stats there in front of you, Tony?
Yeah, I do. Running the football, Carson Buehr had 10 carries for 34 yards and a touchdown. Carter Amlin had 4 carries for 7 yards. Leighton Whitnable had 13 carries for 57 yards. Throwing the ball, Colton Mortensen was 11 of 23 for 125 yards and an interception. Receiving, Mason Clark had 2 receptions for 46 yards. Austin Bond had 2 for 22. Carter Amlin had 4 for 27. And Leighton Whitnable had 2 for 18. Offensively, Leighton Whitnable was 1 for 1 on extra points. Punting the ball, Colton Mortensen was 1 one punt for 38 yards. Tanner Buffington had four punts for an average of 30 yards. Kickoff returns, Leighton Whitnable had three returns for a total of 90 yards for a 30-yard average. And then defensively, it was an interesting game in the fact that they're in shotgun every play, or just mm-hmm. about every play. They got a tall left-handed quarterback who's maybe not the most mobile back there, but he throws a nice ball. Their linemen are basically foot-to-foot on their splits, so it's not real easy to get through there on any sort of blitz. To start with, they got some yards running the football off tackle on us, and we kind of shored that up in the middle part of the game. And then just that last drive, we just could not get off the field. But defensively, let's see here. Leighton Whitnable had 13 tackles. Carson Buehr had 12. Eli Lowry had 4, and he had a sack. Tucker Jugsma had three tackles and 2 sacks. Chris Flores had 5 tackles and a sack. Tanner Buffington had 2 tackles, had an interception, had a fumble recovery. Mason Clark had 4 tackles. Tyler Schickadance had 4 tackles. And then we had a couple of other people kind of get in there. Oh, Colt Mortensen had 2 tackles, one of them being a sack. Mm. We had a few others, but it was kind of a game where it was played between the 30s. A team would kind of surge in a little bit, and then whether it was a penalty or a lack of execution that kind of pushed either team back, and so it was kind of played there. And then I just feel that we had some opportunities that we missed out on, and it's kind of been like that. We talked about it before the game. Hey, these are, I think that we're pretty evenly matched with Canby. It's going to come down to whether it's a penalty or a turnover or something like that. We got to make sure that we are in the right place, and unfortunately that didn't happen. So the final score was 20-7.
Okay, what good things came out of the game that you saw, Tony, from the team?
Well, I thought, I thought defensively they ran the ball a little bit on us, but then we kind of shored that up. We did get a interception. Defensively we did a couple of nice things. Obviously, we had that nice kick return. Excuse me, had that nice kick return there late in the fourth to get us down into scoring. Offensively, I thought that we ran the ball fairly well. I mean, they were really trying to sell out and stop our fly sweep, which, I mean, that's kind of our bread and butter, and we got to figure out ways to change that up a little bit. And so we were able to do that from time to time, and their ends were coming off the edges hard, so our tackles really had to move their feet, so Colton had to step up. It's one of those things where there was some good things, there was many good things, but just not enough to get us over the hump. And the effort and the desire and the teamwork, it's all there. It's just a matter of putting that together, I think, and figuring out a way to help them put that together.
Okay. What's up next for the Eagles?
Well, this week, the junior high, they went down to Canby, down to Mineota last week and played. And then this week, they play on Tuesday evening or afternoon. They play here against Canby. And then Friday night, we go to YME to play Yellow Medicine East, or we go to Granite Falls, I guess I should say,
mm-hmm.
and play the Sting. They lost last night to RTR, I believe.
Yeah, 40-14.
Yeah, so it's a game, or it will be a game of teams that are 1-4 and looking for that opportunity or possibility of staying out of that 7-8 game.
Yep.
Which I think is very, very important.
Yep.
And we talked about it before the game last night. Hey, this is kind of the start of the second half, and we need to put together a run here. And that didn't pan out last night. So we need to look together now and look ahead now. And now we got three games, and how do we put these three together and try to get to 4-4?
Who are those three games left with Tony?
We play, like I said, we play at Granite Falls Tuesday or Friday night. The following Friday night, Lakeview comes here, which I believe is the, what would that be, the 10th or the 9th?
Yeah, it's during the MEA or something like that.
No, the week before MEA.
Oh, okay.
And then Wednesday of MEA, we go down to Tyler and we play the Knights down in RTR.
Right, right, right. Okay, well, yeah, well, the best of luck in the next week in Granite Falls. And should maybe ask you how the junior high and did this past week.
Well, they went to Mineota, and they play some tackle football in this elementary levels, and we do something a little different, three-line flag football, whatever you want to call it. So they're a little bit more on the seasoned end, but okay. I think the score ended up being like 52-6 or 52-8 in favor of Mineota.
Okay.
But, you know, it's another learning experience for them. We got a number of kids out, and that's good. And then the 8th grade and the 9th grade, they lost to Mineota. The score was 16-6. So they were, from the sounds of it, they were able to, Mineota scored one a little late or later in the game to kind of put it out of reach. But it sounded like they did some good things as well. So always trying to look ahead and look forward and seeing how things develop. This morning we have three line here at 10 o'clock, so we'll get them out and run around. We had them out last night on the practice field for a half hour playing before homecoming, and then we had them on the field for warm-ups and the starting lineup and the national anthem. So
that was a thrill for them.
Absolutely. They were very excited, and like I told them as they were standing there, I said, you can have a handout, but don't have a body out. You might end up going with them through the rest of the line. So I think some of them kind of pulled their hands back as they went running by, but nice little experience for them, and it's one of those things where you kind of hope, hey, you know, at one point in time, I want to be this guy, and I want to be able to do that, and so that's right. You know, that's what it's about.
That's right. When I was in elementary school in New Ulm, I remember going to New Ulm Eagle football games with my dad and playing catch with my friends on off the field, and it's a good memory.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's what you try to create, whether it's for those guys or the junior high kids or the varsity kids, because as time goes on, the stories start to become a little bit better, and the catch and the run were a little bit longer, and the tackles were a little more, and but that's one of the great things about high school athletics and the stories that you can share as time goes on.
All right. All right, Tony, thanks for the report this morning. We'll hear about the YME game next Saturday then.
All right. Thank you very much, Paul.
All right. That's head coach Tony Smith of the Eagles. We'll take a break, and we'll be back with more of the Coaches Show after this.
Have you been considering buying a new laundry set? Well, now is the time to buy a Speed Queen. Why? Speed Queen is now offering a 10-year warranty. That's right. Speed Queen is offering a 10-year warranty on all of its home laundry products now till September 30th. Speed Queen products are available locally at Larry's Refrigeration and Heating in Ortonville and Madison. Now is the time for a new laundry set. Out with the old and in with the new. To see Speed Queen quality laundry products and learn more about this incredible 10-year warranty, visit Larry's Refrigeration and Heating in downtown Ortonville and Madison today. It's American Surplus's large annual fall inventory reduction auction Saturday, September 28th, starting at 9:30. Be prepared to buy in two rings on the auction, semis and trucks. 10-plus Ice Castle fish houses, various models, new portable storage buildings, tools, furniture, carpet and flooring, ice fishing supplies, and building supplies. That's American Surplus's large annual fall inventory reduction auction, Saturday, September 28th, 9:30. They're located along East Highway 7 in Montevideo. For more pictures, auction information, complete listing, late editions, online catalog, and other auctions, visit henslinauctions.com.
Welcome back to the Saturday morning Coaches Show. We're going to talk with head coach John Sherb of the Lac La Parle Valley Dawson Boy cross-country team. Good morning, John.
Morning.
Well, you're usually in the studio with me, but you're out on the road today, huh?
Yeah, we got some of our former athletes running down here at U of M at GRIAC, so I come down to watch the Freetleys and then also watch Jordan Steroid run this morning. So had to get on the road early this morning.
Yeah. So, yeah, don't they usually have that the same weekend as Mille Lacs?
Once, about every 4 years, it hits on top. They've kind of got split where they try to rotate it off, so which is good because then you can have some schools, if they want to go to both big meets, they can. So that's one nice thing. So it's kind of nice it's not, so I can come down and watch some of our former athletes run.
Yeah, a lot of colleges, that's one of the bigger cross-country meets in the country, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's got, like, two divisions. They've got basically got your Division One schools, and you got your Division Two and Three schools. So it's a different race. And then plus they have, it must have four or six. I can't remember what exact. Four or six classes for high school boys and girls varsity races. So That's kind of something neat today. Also do that in the afternoon.
Okay, real good. Well, last Saturday you were up at Mille Lacs, and you have some great news. Tell us all about it, John.
Yeah, it was fun. It was tough conditions. The course was wet already when we got up there. Then about 9:45, all of a sudden they put an all call. Everybody headed to the buses, lightning coming in from Foley and rain. So we got all shipped back. And then, we were an hour and 15 minutes behind schedule, and it was a heavy downpour. So the course turned really, really treacherous and muddy. As you got into the races, it tore it up really bad. The 7th and 8th, and ninth graders all ran together on the boys and then also the girls. So, I really am pleased with our young kids because they've never ran a 5K before, and they also got the call of, well, you're going to have to run a 5K or you don't run. And our kids really never questioned it all. So they ran from a 2-mile race to a 5K, 3.1. So you really got to like the way they were willing to do that. The seventh grade, it turned up for numbers. I'll tell you numbers here in a little bit, but in the boys' race, 7, 8, 9 combined, there was over 1,000 kids in the race, and that's how big it was combined. Seventh grade girls, they ran a 5K. 221 runners competed in that. Taylor Wood was 144th at 29:41. Ashlyn Woolley was 163rd at 30:28. Seventh grade boys, also, like I said, there was 297 runners in there when they broke them off. Our top runner was Tegan Allpress at 44 to 23:15. Then it was Tayden Clark at 70 to 23:55. Matthew Arndt was 196 to 27:38. Brendan Sherb was 216 to 28:18. Luke Stock was 200th at 27:50. Carson Besson was 221st at 28:26. Baxter Colliff was 226th at 28:38. And the boys, actually, we got enough to score, so we scored 17th there for 7th grade boys only, which was really good to see. 8th grade girls, they ran with 203 runners in their race. Tatiana Specht was 120th at 28:45. Grace Vosick was 141st at 29:33. 8th grade boys, 305 runners. James Weber was the top runner. He's 41st at 21:27, but Eli Hagelin was our top runner. He was 18th at 20:11.5, and then Charlie Will was 94th at 22:48 with 305 kids in that one. Then they went to 9th grade girls. There were 205 runners there. Reagan Martinson, they still all ran the 5K, was 142nd at 29:02. 9th grade boys, 430 runners. So that's Ethan Herson was 332nd at 26:02. Isaac Conover was 101st at 21:21. Jordan Perkins was 331st at 25:59. Justin Perkins was 215th at 23:16. 10th grade boys, Lucas Vosick was 224th at 22:59 with 418 runners in there. JV girls, there was 491 runners in the JV girls who ran the 5K. Reagan Johnson was 270th at 28:38. And Jade Bukowski was 259th at 28:20. Varsity girls, it was good fun. We're trying to get this crew together and just kind of, the biggest thing is believing in themselves and understanding it's not as easy as you think, and they've got to continue. So, but I thought we made some nice steps forward. Of course, like I said, got a little mushy, but they still handled it very well. Annika Fernkels was our top runner at 33 at 22:10. Then we had Taylor Shells at 63rd at 23:10. Annika Trigested was 56th at 22:58. Georgia Will was 112th, 24:32. Josie Sherb was 110th at 24:28. Rachel Lund was 152nd, 25-46, and Alex Ditt was 103rd at 24-52. 208 runners in that race, and we placed 11th out of 25 complete teams. The boys varsity, you know, we're in Division II. We ran with Staples Motley, who was kind of ones we thought we'd be chasing a little bit. And the course really got ugly. The number one ranked kid in the boys Class A went down with about 800 meters to go in the race. I mean, he took a 90-degree turn. Feet went out underneath him. And if you ever heard a person hit the ground and get their wind knocked out, that's what it sounded like when he hit the ground.
Wow.
Didn't get up for a while, then crawled, got up, slowly walked over, jog, and then kind of finished. He was a limp, and he looked tough, but he got in. Like, he ended up finishing about eighth or ninth place. So, you know, it was good there, but 211 runners in that. Zeke Sather, you know, ran a really good race there. He was fourth overall, 1724.4. Mikey Kowal was 10th at 1744.1. Griffin Johnson was 12th at 1746. Mason Bramer was 28th at 1836. Colby Duth was 34th at 1850. Peyton Sturry was 39th at 1901. Caden Allpress was 47th at 1914. I don't have the exact score written down on my paper, but we were first. We beat them beat Staples Motley by 13. So, like I said, it was good. You know, we didn't run our best race. We've got a lot of sickness going through, but we still competed. We just got this next month, a little over a month, we've got to get to this next level. JV Boys, they ran a 5,000-meter course, 754 runners in this race. Hunter Martinson was 84th at 20-28. Gavin Fernals, 250th, 22-10. Darius Fenske, 40th, 19-51. Caleb Johnson was 32nd at 19-40. Devin Fernals was 271st at 22-22. And a couple last ones here. Brandon Cross was 63rd at 20-10. Ryder Drugsma was 368 at 23-20. Jack Kennedy was 602nd at 26-38. Tyler Buehr was 404 at 23-39. And Wiley Wiebe was 685th at 28-18. Overall, very, very good day up there. Just, you know, handle the conditions. And just the, you know, the bonding, the kids being together all day and evening up there, I thought was really good. I thought we made some great, you know, good steps in the right direction.
All right, yeah, a lot of runners there, John. I saw some of the I saw some of the video, and it was really muddy at in some places.
Yes, it was. I'd hate to see if you took an airplane or a drone and flew over that course probably about Monday or Tuesday. You could have seen a Zach truck. Everybody went just because it's black. I hate to be the groundskeeper. I think if I walked into that Monday, I think I'd walk back out and call in sick for the next 2 weeks because it was ripped pretty hard.
All right. Well, good meet for the boys and the girls up there then. That was great.
Yeah, well, yes, it was. It was good.
All right. Then you got right back into conference action there.
Yep, we got a chance to go over to Grant on Thursday, which is usually a fast course. The thing is, a lot of people probably don't realize with our kids, I actually cranked them up really hard Monday and Tuesday, so we were kind of flat a little bit. We did not look as sharp, but we're training through. We've got to get kind of back into some work, and we weren't able to get to County Park earlier, so we got it that in. So it's, the kids are pretty trashed, but I thought the kids really still can compete very well. Seventh and eighth grade girls race, Tatiana Speck was eighth at 10-19. Grace Vosick was 10th at 10-22, and Taylor Wood was 13th at 10-24, and that was a 2,100-meter course. 7th and 8th grade boys ended up having James Weber was 3rd at 8-20. Charlie Will was 4th at 8-21. And then Tygan Allpress was 10th at 8-41. Matthew Arndt was 22nd at 8-9-49. Brendan Sherb was 33rd at 10-12. Luke Stock was 20th at 9-40. Tegan Clark was 14th at 8:52. Carson Besson was 25th at 9:52. Baxter Call was 30th at 10:20. And they ran 2,100 meters. Varsity girls, they ran everybody together at 5K. Annika was third overall. Fernal, she was 21:16. Annika Trigested was in fifth at 21:25. Georgia Will was 22nd, 23:21. Josie Sherb was 21st at 23:15. Rachel Lund was 24th at 23:29. Taylor Shelston was 10th at 22-26. Alex Stitt was 36th at 24-31. Reagan Johnson was 55th at 27-flat. Isabel Stender at 58th, 27-52. Jade Bukowski at 48th, 26-23. And Reagan Martinson was 59th at 27-57. Team scoring can be beaten us by 26 points, I believe. I think it was like 30-56. Just like I said, good just to see where we're at. varsity boys. We knew we were going to kind of have to really control our own destiny just how well. I mean, we took care of business out there. Mike Wall won it with a really good time. It was 16:42, and Zeke was right behind him. Those two really kind of worked off each other. He was second at 16:45. Mason, I'm going to kind of jump it here just because Mason Brammer was seventh at 17:38. Caden Allpress was 10th at 17:56. Peyton Sterer was 8th at 17:43. Colby Duith was 11th at 17:57. Griffin Johnson was 4th at 17:13. Gavin Fernals was 41st, 2017. Ryer Dugan was 50th at 20:52. Brandon Crosh was 32nd at 19:43. Caleb Johnson was 14th at 18:10. Darius Fanske was 13th at 18:06. Hunter Martinson was 16th at 18:20. Devin Fernals was 45th at 20:33. Patrick Slokta was 111th at 23:56. Jack Kennedy was 104th at 23:31. Elijah Fierkenstead was 84th at 22:21. Tyler Buehr was 72nd at 21:51. Wiley Wiebe was 114th at 24:17. Lucas Fosick was 75th at 21:54. Ryan Lund was 42nd at 20:18. Ethan Hurston was 106th at 23:32. Gavin Stoltz was 49th at 20:45. Isaac Conover was 36th at 19:52. Jordan Perkins was 101st at 23:22. Justin Perkins was 76 at 21:55. And scoring, we ended up winning it with, you know, a low score. You know, we put as many kids we put in that top, it made it a little bit tough, you know, score. We ended up winning it, I think, with 30. Let's see what I got right here. 28. Oh, see, that was girls. Yep, that was boys. 30. And, you know, then Camby was second at 80, I think it was 85, and then Monty was next at like 92. So it fell off a little bit there. But again, it's just good to see the kids compete onto a different level, seeing where we're at. And so, you know, overall, it was a very good meet for us just to kind of handle a nice, flat, fast course.
All right. What do you got coming up this week, John?
We go to Monty. It's a 4:30 start instead of the 5 o'clock start. So that's going to change a little bit of the time there. But it'll be a good close one, you know, for us. We'll also get the chance to see a Marshall team we haven't seen all year. Just they're a nice team. They'll give us a little push in there and see how well we can compete with them. And when you're running this AA school, so there'll be a nice mix. I think there's like 5 races. It's all combined a lot, so it'll be a good one on Tuesday. And that's all we got. Just we're gonna have one meet a week now, pretty much until the season's over.
Okay, and of course Madison hosting the sections this year, right?
Yep, Madison's hosting sections the 25th of October, and that Thursday.
Okay, that's always a huge event, and it brings a lot of people to town, too, and, it should be fun. So, yeah, well, good report this morning, John. Thanks a lot, and have fun down at the University of Minnesota today. And who are you watching again, former Lockbrow Valley Dawson Boyd runners?
Well, Kaiser Freely just started. If you heard the gun in the background, he had just started. He's just out on the course now running for NDSU, and then about 10:15 or 10:20, Alasia Freely will be running. And then Jordan Sterrerud will be running at 11:10 for Northern State. So we've got 3 kids. Unfortunately, Sadie Thompson's nicked up. She's been running for USF. She's nicked up right now, so she's not running. So, but I know she's down. I'm going to try to catch her. So, you know, we've got some of our former athletes down here.
Yeah, you
got
to feel pretty proud to have kids go on to that level, huh?
It's always fun. It's, you know, to see them go on and excel, and I know they're all running really, really well because I know Jordan was named Athlete of the Week for Northern here a week ago. So, with their performance she had, so that's really good for performance. And I saw Kaiser and Laser up in Fargo early, and they looked very good up there. And I know they've been running PRs and running really some of their best marks so far in their career, and that's good to see.
Awesome, that's great. All right, John, have fun today, and we'll talk to you next week then.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Yep. John Sherb, head coach of the Lockbrow Valley Dawson Boyd cross country team. We'll take a break and hear from head coach Molly Hennen from Lockbrow Valley Volleyball right after this.
You've got a lot more going for you with Hank Hardware. Hank.
Ensure you have durable gloves for all of your yard work this fall with the Wells Lamont 3-pack of Wear Power Jersey Work Gloves. Available in size large, these polyester cotton blend jersey and fleece lining gloves provide extra comfort and protection. The slip-on styling makes the gloves easy to put on or remove. Remember to head to your local Hardware Hank today and pick up these Wells Lamont gloves. They're perfect for yard work on those chilly fall days. In Appleton, stop by Appleton Power Equipment and Hardware. And in Madison, it's Madison Hardware Hank right on Main Street.
You've got a lot more going for you with Hank Hardware Hank.
The Madison Area Chamber of Commerce invites you to Oktoberfest in Madison. It'll start with the Lac Barrel Study Club Spaghetti Feed Wednesday, October 2nd, 11 to 1 at the VFW. There'll be an authentic German meal served at the VFW Thursday, October 3rd, 11 to 1. Round the Town Rummage Sales October 4th and 5th. Watch for the map of the Western Guard. And a car show will be held by NAPA on East Highway 40 from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday, October 5th. Free dash plaques to the first 50 entrants and trophies in various categories. For information on Madison Chamber's Oktoberfest, call the Chamber office at 320-598-7301.
I'm Minnesota Olympian Carrie Tellefson. Whether you're looking to lose weight or simply improve your health, Body Togs has the products you need to succeed. Body Togs weighted sleeves fit comfortably on calves and forearms and are worn underneath your clothing. The essential vitamins help boost metabolism while providing important vitamins and minerals. Body Togs appetite control suppresses bothersome cravings between meals. The trimming cream dissolves stubborn fat and smooths out cellulite. All Body Tog products are backed by science and shown to be effective at helping people achieve their weight loss and health goals. Body Tog products are now available in your local pharmacy, including Dawson Drug and Gifts, Cambie Drug, and Thrifty White in Madison and Montevideo. And they're online at www.bodytogs.com.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods right downtown Dawson, Minnesota is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Let's turn our attention to Lac Parle Valley Volleyball with first-year head coach Molly Henning. Good morning, Molly.
Morning, Paul.
Well, you had a busy week. Started last weekend up in, where is it, Hancock or Minnewaska?
Yep, Hancock.
All right, tell us all about it.
Well, we started out playing our first game against YME, actually. We ended up losing the first set 19-25, and we lost the second set 23-25. I kind of was talking to the coaches, and we didn't really play our best game, and I feel like it's kind of hard sometimes to beat a team twice when you match up with them fairly well. Our next game, we played Hillcrest, and we won the first set 25-20. We won the first set, 25-20, and then won the second set 25-18. And then our third match was against Hancock, and we won the first set 25-21 and the second set 25-21. So we went 2-for-3, which was pretty good. The girls, we started out a little slow, but we ended up finishing, and all the parents that were there and the fans knew it was really hot in the gym, so the girls played really well for how hot it was, and the floor was really slippery, kind of like we experienced at YME that Tuesday when we played them in Granite. So,
right.
And then we ended up playing for homecoming week. Our first game was on Tuesday versus McRae. We lost the first set 17-25. We lost the second set 18-25, and the third set 15-25. So it was a pretty tough match. McRae they played really good. We knew that McRae was going to be good because in the tournament they played last Saturday, they did really well. They beat the number two team, Kenyon Watamingo, and then we also heard that they beat Bold. So we knew they were pretty scrappy. They're a really young team, so they'll be good again next year. And they had some big hitters, and their setter, that Sydney Tyne, was really good for them. And then for stats that game, Taylor Kittleson had 23 set assists. Josie Munsterman had one. For Diggs, Josie Munsterman had 16. She played really well in the back row. Tori Bungarden had 14. And then Sydney Gernis had 12, Macy Lund 13, Ashton Whitnable 4, and Taylor Kittleson 4. And then kills that game, Tori Bungarden had 8, Ashton Whitnable 5, Callie Stulier 6, and Josie Munsterman 4, and then Riley Swatsky had 3, and Riley also had 2 blocks. And then ace serves that game, Sydney Gernis had 1, Ashton Whitnable 2, and Tori Bungarden had 1. So, like I said, it was our sets were pretty close. We just couldn't come out with the win, and I was still proud of our girls because we played pretty good against a really good team. So.
Right. Okay, and then on Thursday, boy, what a big volleyball match with the Dawson Boyd Blackjacks. Had a great crowd there Thursday, and it was like a section playoff atmosphere almost.
Yeah, we kind of knew it was going to be a big crowd just because it was both ours and Dawson Boyd's homecoming week. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. The crowd got really into it, and I feel like that kind of maybe pumped the girls up a little, especially in that fourth set when that was a big set, a big set that we won, because if we would have lost that set, we would have went five sets, which nobody likes to play five sets. but we ended up winning the first set 25-21, the second set 25-20. We lost the third set 25-13, and then the fourth set we won 25-23. So, yeah, that fourth set was a big set to win, and we kind of started out a little slow, and I told the girls when I took those timeouts that we were basically down that whole game, I want to say, and I just told them we can come back, and they knew, and I knew we didn't want to go into fifth set with Dawson. And we just wanted to get it over with in fours. And then they did. We sometimes struggle. We talk about sometimes struggling with being able to finish games, and they were able to come back and finish that game. So I was really proud of them.
That's right. Go ahead. Yeah, the stats for that night?
Yep. Ashlyn Whitnable had 13 kills. She actually led us in kills that game. She did awesome for us. She's a senior this year, so we'll lose her next year, which I'll miss her next year. I think the team will miss her. She's a great leader on the floor. She's actually one of our captains this year, too. Our next second leader for kills was Callie Soulier with 11, and she played awesome, too. I know you said in the broadcast after the game that was the best match you've seen her play, which I agree, that was one of her stronger matches. And then Tori Bungarden had 10 kills. Josie Munchman had 4, Riley Swatsky 3, and then Lauren Benson had 1. And then for blocks that game, Callie Soulier had 1 and Riley had 1. And then for digs, quite a few girls actually did really well defensively. We had some big numbers for digs on Thursday night. Josie Munchman and Macy Lund both tied with 19 digs. Tori Bungarden had 18, Sydney Gertis had 17, Taylor Kittleson had 10, Ashlyn Whitnable had 8, and Callie Soulier had 7. So quite a few girls had quite a few digs. There was actually 4 that were in double figures for digs, so that's awesome, because Dawson Boyd had a few really big hitters for them, and especially that fourth set, we were really scrappy, and we dug up a lot of balls, which was great, because that's how we set up our offense and get the kills. And I feel like that third set, we kind of struggled a little bit with passing and setting it up, and that's why the score shows we lost 13-25. We just struggled a little bit back row, I want to say. For set assists, Taylor Kittleson had 33 set assists, Josie Munchman had 6, and then Macy Lund had 1. And then ace serves, quite a few girls had ace serves. Ashlyn Whitnable had 2, Callie Soulier had 3, Tori Bungarden had 2, and Josie Munsterman had 1. So, yeah, it was a really fun match, and it was actually parents' night, too, and C-Squad, JV, and Varsity, we all got wins, so it was a pretty successful night, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, sweet for the Eagles Thursday night.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Sue Volk and I were mentioning on the broadcast, boy, it just seems like we're at the RA facility in Marshall for section sports or section playoffs or something. It was so loud in the gym.
Yeah, it was. And I was so proud of the girls, because even though it was loud, they still were talking all the time, and their communication was really good. And I feel like every game that we play, they just mold together better, and they just play a lot better together, because I know at the beginning of the season, some of the girls were a little bit hesitant to go after balls, but on Thursday night, I could tell they were being a lot more aggressive, and they were just covering better and being scrappy, and overall, I feel like they're playing really, really well together. So I was really proud of them.
And Dawson, boy, they have some good players on their side. Caroline Dahl had a big night, 21 digs, 23 kills or something like that. And Bartunek and Fransky did well. So it was a battle between the Blackjacks and the Eagles.
Yeah, we kind of knew that coming in. Avery Bartunek, we knew she was kind of all over. And like you said, Carolyn Dahl, they were both pretty big hitters from the outside. So I told the girls to kind of follow them more so on the court when they're in the front row. It's probably going to go to them. So just try to put up a big block. And then defensively, we just have to be on our toes. And I felt like the girls did a good job at talking and knowing who was in the front and where they're supposed to go on defense. So I was really proud. The Blackjacks, especially that third and fourth set, they really stepped it up hitting-wise. I felt like they were hitting a lot harder. And I told the girls, you just got to swing. And I know Dawson Boyd actually had quite a few blocks too against us. And I just told the girls, just keep swinging. Don't let the block scare you. Just keep swinging, and hopefully the back row is down, ready, and low, and we'll cover those balls. So.
Yep, and you mentioned the back row with Gertis and Macy Lund. They did outstanding.
Yeah, and Josie Munson, too. She actually had 19 digs, so quite a few girls. I mean, I think that's probably one of our best defensive games that we've had where we had so many girls that had double figures for digs, so that's awesome. Even Callie Sulier, she's our middle hitter who normally wouldn't get that many digs. She had 7 digs, so that's awesome that the girls are getting those balls up, because if we don't get the balls up, we can't set up our offense. So.
Okay. All right, real good. Big win there for you. And, what do you got coming up on varsity?
Next Tuesday we'll play at KMS. And then next Thursday we'll play CMC, and that's also away. So okay,
two road games then.
Two away games. Yeah, we've had quite a few home now, and now we have 2 next week away. So
okay, and how did B Squad do this past week? Do you remember?
I think Tuesday they lost in 3 sets, and then just on Thursday night they beat Dawson. So okay. It was kind of fun too. It was parents' night, so we kind of let some other girls get in that typically don't get to play, just because it was parents' night. We wanted all the girls to get in, and it was a lot of fun. So
okay.
And then actually, our following home match will be against RCW, and that's Dig Pink and senior night. So that'll be the following Tuesday. So
okay. Yeah, we'll talk about that next Saturday then. Pink night coming up.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, thanks, Molly, for the report this morning, and best of luck this week.
Thanks.
That's head coach Molly Hennon of the Eagles. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more of the Coach's Show after this.
The Madison Chiropractic Center is open Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Tuesday and Thursday, 8 to noon. Dr. Clint Bond offers the latest in chiropractic care. Call for an appointment, 320-598-3089. That's 320-598-3089 for the Madison Chiropractic Center. There's no need to travel far for professional chiropractic treatment. You'll find it right downtown Madison, Minnesota. See Dr. Clint Bond at the Madison Chiropractic Center, 508 West 4th Street, just east of Madison City Hall. Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Let's turn our attention to La Caprile Valley Dawson Boyd girls tennis with head coach Dr. Brent Hacker. And good morning, Coach.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, you bet. Your girls tennis team is playing well, but kind of ran into a buzzsaw on Thursday with the state-ranked Minnewaska, didn't you?
Yeah, boy, I tell you, we knew it was going to be a tough match when coming into it, and you just focus on playing your game. You focus on what you can do on your side of the net, and you don't have control over the other side of the net, so you just manage your side. I thought the girls, we ended up losing 7-0, but I thought the girls played very well, honestly, all the way up and down. Anna Hacker was ahead, actually, 5-4 in her first set against Danielle Thorfinson, who's ranked 5th in state right now.
Mm-hmm.
So had a good first set, ended up losing that 7-5, and then lost the second set 6-0. We had a number of sets like that. Maddie Matthews creating games in that first set, but ended up losing it 7-5, and then ended up losing the second set as well. Our doubles teams played well across the board, especially second and third doubles. Bree Koloff and Beta Maharaj at two doubles were, again, trading games all the way up until they were ahead 5-4, but ended up losing that first set 7-5, and then couldn't close out the second set, lost that 6-3. And our third doubles team, Sarah Halverson and Kylie Winiger, played a heck of a match, won the first set 6-4, but had a tough time closing it out and lost in three sets there. So, we had Adioi, Caitlin Whitnable at 2 and 3 singles as well, kind of filling our singles positions, and then Jessica Sigdahl and Rachel Halverson at one doubles. And they all played very well. I mean, WASCA is a state, like you said, Paul, state-ranked team for a good reason. They're very solid. They're a very good team, and we knew it would be a challenge going into it. So, sometimes we talk about goal of, let's pick up some games, let's stay positive, let's keep working our side of the court, play our game. I think all the gals did a nice job doing that at the match on Thursday.
That's right. Let's back up to earlier in the week. You had a match earlier in the week, right?
Yeah, we played Sauk was out at our place on Tuesday, Sauk Center. We ended up beating them 6-1. We ended up posting wins across all the positions except our third singles. So, again, our singles lineup, Anna Hacker, Adioi, Caitlin Whitnable, and Maddie Matthews are the 1 through 4 singles players. Caitlin had a tough match at three singles, ended up losing 6-0, 6-3. Just our doubles across the board won as well. That's Jessica Sigdahl, Rachel Halverson at one dubs, and Bree Koloff, Beta Maharaj at two, and Sarah Halverson and Kylie Winiger at three. All of them played some nice tennis, did a nice job. Our JV was also playing this week. They were at WASCA, actually, when we were hosting WASCA. So I talked to Austin a little bit after that. And they've also got a solid JV, so I had a hard time posting wins up there in their JV side of things as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Go ahead.
No, yeah, we've got, we're playing up in Alexandria today for conference. We'll be up here all day, pretty much 8:30, 9 o'clock, all the way until about 4 or 5 in the afternoon. So,
okay.
Welcome. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, why did they have the conference at Alexandria?
Yeah, well, they've got more courts than anybody else.
Okay.
Okay.
That makes sense.
We've hosted it at Minnewaska's hosted it, Montevideo's hosted it. They're places that have about 10 or 12 courts total. We have a heck of a time even getting the match done, getting the whole tournament finished by the time it's dark. We usually end up calling matches or not even getting them started. Alexandria has 16 courts total for us. So it's really nice of them to let us get up there and use their courts at their high school. And then we have four others there's 12 at the high school and four others at a different location in town. And with all 16 courts, we're able to finish up a little before supper most days.
Oh, wow. Okay. And, tennis, you're in the West Central Conference in tennis, right?
Yes, that's correct. Yep.
Okay. Great. Who's all in the conference then? I know McCray might be in there.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's some of the folks that, volleyball plays really. So West Central tennis is Benson, McCray, Melrose, Montevideo, Morris, Sauk Center, Wyoming, and Minnewaska. There's 9 teams and then us, and there's 9 teams total of us.
Okay.
And we wrap that up on Saturday, so that's the end of conference for us already.
Yeah, that goes quick, doesn't it?
Yeah, it goes very fast. It really does.
So now, is this just team and individuals, or how is that set today?
Yeah, that's a great question. Actually, the way it's run is it's run as flights. So tennis is always nothing easy about following tennis. So instead of competing as a team, like all the one singles players from those schools play off in a bracket against each other, and you come up with a one singles champion from our conference. And then you do the same thing in our two singles, three singles all the way through, and we do the same thing in doubles. Like all the first double teams get together, compete against the other first double teams, come up with a champion. So that's what Saturday is about. So we're playing off, each one of our, we have 7 different positions, and they all will get in a bracket and play off against all the other conference teams.
All right. Real good. Well, keep me up to date or informed how it goes up there today, and Best of luck to that. Before I let you go, I got to compliment you. Whoever did all the pictures at your tennis courts at La Caprile Valley with all the girls, they hang them up on the fence there. That was pretty cool. That adds a lot to the tennis arenas.
Yeah, you know, Melissa Oy was in charge of getting that rolling. She does a great job helping out with a lot of different parts of our program. C. Edwards in town prints those out for us, and we really appreciate Charlie's help with that. He does a great job. They look great. And, yeah, I think it adds a little bit of excitement and energy to the match, and the girls really like it, I think. And it's a nice honor for the seniors up there.
That's right. All right. Well, thanks, Dr. Hacker, for the report on tennis, and good luck today up in Alexandria.
Okay, thanks so much, Paul. Appreciate it.
Yep, that's head coach Dr. Brent Hacker, girls tennis. We'll take a break and be back with more of the Coach's Show after this.
Well, we'll just wrap up the Coach's Show here. Thanks for listening, everyone. And sorry, I don't have a Dick Newman sick joke of the week for you this week. You'll have to wait for next Saturday for that. Thanks for listening, everyone.
It's 9:56. Great music for Bellingham, Marietta, and Nassau on Q92 KLQP-FM.